Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thank you one and all for being with us, hanging out with us whenever it is, wherever it is in your life. It's evening here, and we're going to have a very interesting conversation tonight with somebody who's been on the show many times, Rebecca David, Laughing Crow Gamble. Her name keeps getting longer. And she's going to talk about something fascinating and very personal, and I'm very excited that she's going to share it on the show. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And I thought I was going to talk about something else, but as often happens, life gets in the way and there seems to be something even better to talk about. So I had an interaction on Facebook. And one of the things about Facebook is that it's wonderful that it has the block feature. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a block feature in life? So if somebody was just getting really obnoxious, or suddenly you realized there was somebody you really, really didn't want to deal with, you could just click a button and never have to deal with them again. I really like that. It's a little harder when you're on a group responding to something that was posted on that page from some other page. And I really stepped in it this evening with one of the things that happens a lot on Facebook and a lot of other internet venues is what's called false equivalency. Somebody will create a meme or make a statement that says, well, this should be this way over here, but it's this way, and that's wrong. So let's get upset about it. The problem is that the two things are totally unrelated and they're not at all equivalent. In this case, it was they should be spending money fixing these serious problems that really exist instead of military aid to a country they don't like. And of course, they come out of different budgets and they're two completely different problems that need to be dealt with in completely separate ways. And I had the audacity to point that out. And people literally from all over the world piled on about all kinds of stuff that was only slightly related to what the meme said or what I said, but it sure was important to them. I especially like it when people call me Mr. David. I don't know which cultures that comes from. I know people in Africa, in some African countries do that, but Mr. David. And I wanted to block all of it. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't want to participate in this mess. This is all of you trolling each other and getting upset about the issue that gets you upset. So I had to block the page and the post. And unlike the page that had posted that, it was, but how much of our lives is like that? You know, there's stuff going on in the world and people are lying. We call it fake news now. You're doing all kinds of stuff. And on the one hand, you want to be proactive and use your energy and your focus in such a way that perhaps you can help to change it. And on the other hand, it would be really nice to be able to just click a button and go, yeah, I don't ever want to see that again. Nothing I can do about it. And these people are nuts. And it's unfortunate that that's the way certainly my country is becoming these days. But the world too, that things are in such chaos and such flux that in many situations, there is no way to have a conversation or make any sense about it. And before any major transition, there is a period of chaos, and you can tell how big the transition is going to be by how dramatic the chaos is. So guess what? there's some big change coming. Yay! But we have to live through this. So I wish you all humor and strength as we all go through this, but things are crazy. I'm sure you noticed that, but, you know, and I'm good at restating the obvious. So that's tonight's metaphysical music. And let's dive right into what I expect to be a fascinating conversation with Rebecca David Laughing Crow Gamble. Thanks so much for being on the show, David.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I give you a hard time about the name getting longer, but
I know.
I'm sure part of the conversation will be why and how that's happening. So you've been on the show many, many times. We've heard about things that happened to you in childhood that led you towards your path, things that you've learned along the way, and all the many traditions that you've learned from and that you teach people. And, you know, so impressed with you starting the American Shamanism Movement and some of the other things you're doing. But tonight you wanted to talk about something that's very personal, and I'm really honored that you're bringing that to the show. So how do you want to move into this?
I have absolutely no idea. As usual.
Well, and what we talked about earlier was the inklings that you had when you were a young child about who you, in quotation marks, really were.
Right. Well, I think maybe we should start with just some basic terms I'm probably going to use a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know what intersex is, let alone they don't understand gender, sex, transsexual, transgender, intersex, and they all mean different things.
Right.
So I think before I even dive into the actual story, maybe we should just give a framework there. So real basically speaking, we're talking about a lot of people who are non-binary. It's a popular topic at the moment for whatever reason. It's about flipping time as far as I'm concerned.
binary at the most basic level is considering yourself to be either male or female.
Right. And what exactly is male or female is part of the discussion. For people who are born with what is considered typically male or female sex organs and identify in society in a traditional male or female role that matches those sex organs, I don't think it's really something that folks like that think about much. For people who are true transsexuals, those are people who some part of them is hardwired. Usually it's found in the brain, and this has been studied and demonstrated medically, that people are born with a brain hardwired to be a sex that they were not born as. So we're talking about sex. We're talking about physical organs.
Gender. Yeah.
And we're talking about gender. We're talking about cultural roles. Just to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have folks who are transsexual and they might their whole lives identify and know they are male or female, but that doesn't match the rest of their body. And then you have intersex people. And intersex folks are those who were born with reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't fit typical definitions of male or female. So those are people who are born with, maybe they're missing a uterus, or maybe they were born with external organs that appear male and internal organs that appear female, or whatever the case may be. They're in some way born not anatomically male or female, or they're born both. Transgender, also, once again, when we're talking about gender, we're talking about roles in society. That's someone who is choosing a gender role in society, in culture, that doesn't necessarily meet that culture's expectations for their anatomy. It's the best way I can put it briefly. And please forgive me, everybody out there who, no, I'm not doing this justice because I don't want to spend a hour and a half talking about terms, and we absolutely could. There's a lot in all of that. What's interesting about, now in my case, I am intersex. So I was born with atypical parts, if you would. What is interesting about intersex folks is they don't always know that they're intersex.
Right.
Unless you're born with visibly different external organs. Many intersex people find out when they enter puberty and, for instance, never get a period and go and get checked out. Or I was actually reading a medical report about a fellow who didn't find out he was intersex until he was 20, until he was 66. He had a wow. tumor on an ovary he didn't know he had.
Wow. Yeah, that would be a shock.
Right. So we didn't find out I was intersex until I was 25.
Right.
Yeah. So, and in my case, I was a vaccine injury. And in my case, that resulted in some neurological damage, some damage to my immune system and autoimmune diseases. And in my case, we expected that my autoimmune issues would go away or get much better when I hit 25 and went through metabolic changes associated with being 25. And instead, they got worse. And that, along with what turned out to be a prostate issue, as well as I was working on my master's at the time and had some experiences with the spirit of my twin that I didn't know I had. it happened all at once. All three of those things happened within like 2 months.
Right.
And it just kind of blew the whole thing wide open and suddenly made my life make so much more sense.
I'm still reeling from the idea of somebody that looks like you having prostate problems, which is part of why it's so strange for everybody involved and hard to understand.
And well, yes and no.
Well, I think everybody has at least...
The pictures that you have of me are before mm-hmm. I hit 25. I'm about 23 in those pictures. Mm-hmm. I don't really look like that anymore. And at some point, my body is going to stop morphing and I'm going to send you new pictures that actually represent me a little bit better. But at the moment, my body hasn't, I'm 27. I'll be 28 in January. And my body hasn't quite fully adjusted to the hormone shifts of being 25. So my bone structure is significantly different. I've lost a couple cup sizes on my chest. I am so grateful for that. You don't even know. my waist is gone. I had that 24-inch waist that got me a modeling gig 10 years ago. I don't have that waist anymore. There's no waist, which is interesting. Yeah, my hips are totally different. It's actually, it's really wonderful because I have a pretty abusive past and I had a lot of injuries to bones that were able to be corrected because my bones started growing again. So I basically hit 25 and entered puberty again.
Lucky you.
I don't know about that.
It was sarcastic.
On the other hand, I've had a chronic hip condition my whole life because of some of that abuse, and I have a much easier time walking now. So in certain ways, yeah, very lucky for me. I had body shaping done as a kid to make me more attractive as a girl so that I would make a better match growing up that has been fixed and it's actually improved some of my organ function. So in a lot of ways, yeah, I am kind of lucky.
Yeah, it's... I haven't seen those pictures of you now, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. But for anybody who has seen the pictures of you at 23,
right?
There, you know, you were a beautiful woman.
Yep. I had a 42-inch chest and 38-inch hips and a 24-inch waist. And I was required to keep measurements like those because I was a model, right? not for a long time. I only did modeling for like a year, but I needed to keep those for my job. And I did. So it's, it was a surprise for a lot of people. It was a surprise for everybody but me, I think. And actually a lot of people, when I just said, hey, you know, all right. So when I was a kid, I insist on being called David was one of my first words. And I was really insistent on that. And I would not talk to you unless you referred to me as David. Tough luck, buddy. Right. as a toddler. Right. And and when I really came to know all this, I was like, I think I need to be recognized that way again. And the amount of people who were just like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. That name actually sticks to you. I've had this problem my whole life where nobody can ever remember my name. And now people can actually remember David. Like, it sticks. So that's fascinating. I think a lot of people were picking up on it for a long time. So there were a lot of people who, although they were surprised, had never heard of intersex before, blah, blah, blah. There were a lot of people where, oh, the way I feel toward you makes sense now. I had one guy who I did a lot of a sweat lodge with when he was going through some really intense sex addiction, actually. So I would go, you know, naked into the lodge with him with the body that I had, and he experienced no sexual attraction to me. And mm-hmm. he was like, that confused me so much because of the issues I was dealing with, you know, and he's like, and now that makes sense, you know, and I had a couple other people come up to me who do, you know, sacred masculine, sacred feminine circles. And they were like, I could never figure out which one you belonged in because I don't feel either energy signature from you.
Right.
And I had other people going, I always felt like there was something really off about you. And now I don't feel that anymore. Now it makes sense. You know, I didn't trust you because it felt like something was off about you. So yes, we were all surprised, but no, we weren't.
So just to give more of an image in conceptualizing, I understand more the guy who had internal female organs and didn't know they were there mm-hmm. than I understand what the internal organs are for you. Well, obviously, prostate is one of them.
Well, here's how that's rolled out for me. How we figured this out was I was having just an extraordinary amount of pain, especially around my cycle when I would bleed every month. And I was just working with it. And one day on a whim, kind of, I was like, you know, what if I ran the pain where this is? If I were a man, that would be associated with prostate pain. What if I do the acupressure points for the prostate? And it helps. So then I started experimenting with, well, you know, the spiritual aspects of the body and the energy aspects of the body. Some people have both organs, you know, further down in the energy body and closer to the physical world. So I started looking at, I actually spent some time, I talked to a couple of my female clients who had similar pain. And I said, hey, why don't we zap the points for the prostate and see what happens. And a lot of them actually experienced a lot of relief. Mm. So at first I thought, oh, okay, well, it's just something in the spiritual world, you know? and then I was doing some work for my master's degree and I had an experience of my sister for the first time. And I was kind of concerned. I was like, am I possessing somebody? Is this my body? I mean, it never matched my image of myself in my head.
Just to clarify the twin that you were not aware of.
Right. And I was really, to be honest, I was completely freaked out for a while there. And by mm-hmm. a while, I mean, it took a good year to work through all that. So I went to the doctor and my doctor's used to me coming in with the weirdest stuff he's ever heard of at this point. There's lots of weird in my medical history. So I just said, you know, I might be insane, but I think I've got a prostate. And he was like, what? And I was going, just humor me, doc, just look. Right. So we did a test. We actually started with a blood test to see there are hormones produced by the prostate and also breast tissue, funny enough. Mm-hmm. To see what those levels were like. And they suggested there probably was a prostate. So then we went ahead and did more tests and found that there was. Now, life gets complicated from there. To be diagnosed as intersex, and in my opinion, it shouldn't be a diagnosis. There's nothing that's actually wrong with us. But to be diagnosed as intersex, you have to have your chromosomes tested, and they have to come back as intersex chromosomes. That is expensive, and at least at the time that I was doing all this, you know, in 2015, not covered by insurances or anything. You had to go to a doctor, they had to give you a script, then you had to go get your genetics tested, and it was all very expensive, a couple $1,000s, actually. And I decided not to do that, primarily because you found a prostate, why do you need to test my chromosomes? So, for me to get further tests to see what other organs may or may not be in there, I have to be diagnosed as intersex. So there could be more than just a prostate, or there might just be a prostate. I don't know. The kicker for that, and I think this is just amazing and fascinating. I have had my genetics tested from other sites. You know, you can go online and get your genetics looked into for like $200, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, so I have done that. And what is interesting is, you know how you visualize yourself doing something? Just in like, I'm going to go do this, and you visualize yourself doing it in your head.
Yep.
I have always been in my head a redheaded, blue-green-eyed male my whole life. And it turned out that my genetics actually show that I should have blue-green eyes and red hair, which you've seen my pictures. Obviously, I don't have that. Right? So I would love to see what the chromosomes actually are, but I can't justify the expense of it at this time, when that is just the most ridiculous policy in the world, and I'm rebelling.
Right. Unless you can find somebody who's interested medically in figuring it out and is willing to do the test.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Things might change in the future. Our city just made a change just like, I think it was a month or two ago, actually. It was a really recent, where they're including gender reassignment surgeries or sex reassignment surgeries, depending on who you ask, in insurance if you work for the city. So things are changing. So we'll see, maybe in a couple years, I don't know. But I'm still just like, why do you have to diagnose something that isn't wrong? And why do we need, I mean, if you can look at my DNA to the point where you can tell me what color my eyes should be and whether I'm likely to have kidney problems or not, but you have to go through all this other red tape to look at my sex chromosomes, are you kidding me? Like, can we fix this? Because, I mean, you know, not to be judgy, but you're wrong.
Yep. So, I mean, the other thing would be, is there a picture that they can take that would give information? But anyway, so we're going to be coming up to the break in a little bit. I want to make sure people know where to find you online.
Okay. Well, at the moment, my personal website is RebeccaGambleHolisticPractitioner.com. If I change it, which I might, that will still redirect to a new website. We're seriously considering having, as a family, we've had this discussion about changing my name legally to David Laughing Crow Gamble and dropping Rebecca Elizabeth, because I've hated it my whole life anyway. But when you own a business and you run a church and you've got all this paperwork to change over.
Sure. Well, we are going to go to the break, and we will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest tonight is Rebecca David Laughing Crow Gamble, and we're talking about the absolutely fascinating topic of intersex. What does it mean? What is it? How do you figure that out exactly? So you're listening to the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. This is David Franklin Farkas, and don't go nowhere. We'll be right back and have more fun.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Non-stop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul. Calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work, there's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. So, I bet I look like a grown up to you now.
Positively uplifting. This is Empower Radio.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Rebecca David Laughing Crow Gamble. You have even more names than I do. I don't know. Is that allowed?
And you know, that's not actually all my names, but we won't even go there.
Yeah, I know. I heard the other ones.
Well, there's been a few. Because a lot of the tribes that I work with will give me a name like for their tribe. God, I can feel like a notebook with this crap.
It also sort of sounds Italian. You know, with the four or five middle names.
Right.
But makes perfect sense. I mean, I'm making fun of it, but it makes perfect sense with everything.
It's challenging to figure out what to do there, you know, because I have to recognize that although I might in my head see myself as David and have identified that way my whole life and just never allowed that to exist in the world, I also want to recognize that, hey, you know, when people look at me, they see boobs.
Right.
You know? So, and since I absolutely refuse to bind my chest for other people's comfort, I feel like I need to recognize the reality you're seeing, but also the actual reality on top of that, and what actually is the actual reality at this point.
we'll
figure it out eventually.
Well, and the reality is all of it, and that's the point. You are a person with all of that going on simultaneously. And how do you live with that? How do you make sense of that? How do you help other people make sense of that? because, you know, I've heard of it. You know, I've heard some of those stories about people that had organs they didn't expect and that kind of stuff. But most people haven't. And the term intersex is not one of the ones that's brandished about like trans and some of the other things. So besides living it, you're teaching everybody what all this means. Yeah. Which
the willingness to light oneself on fire in public often.
Yeah, it does feel that way for at least part of the time, doesn't it?
But there's some light in the darkness for a minute there.
Well, but, you know, part of what I'm hearing you doing, even as we talk about this, is figuring out how to talk about it.
Yep.
You know, how to express your own confusion and what you know to be true biologically and what you do and don't know about what it means biologically and emotionally and all the rest of it. And that's the challenge and that's the path.
Yeah. And I mean, in a situation like this, you can either look at it as a giant tragedy or a giant adventure. And, you know, they called me Laughing Crow for a reason. If I choose between laughing or crying, I'm going to laugh every time. So, it's so funny, you know, when I was given that name, I was raised in a culture where it was inappropriate for girls to show their teeth. That was immodest. Mm-hmm. So you didn't laugh and you didn't smile. And if you couldn't help yourself, then you would cover your mouth with your hand to be modest. Right. So when I was given that name, I didn't laugh like at all.
Interesting.
It was kind of like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. And the name had to be my teacher, interestingly. And I feel like in certain ways, you know, it's so funny. My given name was Rebecca Elizabeth. And that has to do with, if you look at the roots of the words, the kind of Rebecca I was given, there's a Hebrew form of Rebecca and a Greek form of Rebecca, and right. I was given the Hebrew. And it refers to a verb for binding, for knot work, for tying up animals. So it has to do with binding someone to something. And Elizabeth has to do with the fulfillment of God's purposes. So it was almost like, it was almost like a job title. And I feel like so much of my life has been a job title. And I feel as though finally doing the David thing is almost it's like my name is being a teacher again. I'm finding that coming to an understanding of that is bringing me to a much deeper spiritual place, a much deeper relationship with what I think of as God anyway, which is appropriate being the meaning of David. You know?
Right. Well, David means beloved.
Right. Yeah. So it's interesting how I feel like sometimes our names are our best teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's if being on any shamanic path is about finding the symbolism and the messages everywhere. Yep. So the meaning of words and the meaning of names and how it changes as your understanding changes and as events color your understanding. Yeah. Right. You know, more so for you.
Well, I don't know. How do you compare journeys? But it did. I mean, what's one of the funny things is, you know, I came from a very, my grandparents were off the boat kind of thing. And I came from a very Irish upbringing for the first half of my life until I was about 7. And I continued to identify with that and live as if that were the culture that I was in. And had this very, the second part of my upbringing was with my mother and her culture, and her family was German and Polish, again, both of her parents off the boat, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses. and talk about a switchover, right?
Right.
But so I grew up very strictly. I came from very strict Catholicism to very strict Jehovah's Witness background, and I still am, and in my personal practices, I'm still very Christian. I'm very earth-based, but earth-based Christian, Celtic Christian, shamanic Christian, whatever you want to call it,
right.
It works for me. So,
well, it depends. Yeah. It also depends on how you look at Christian.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's a whole other show.
You know, if you go back to the beginning, it's about Yeshua, who was a rabbi and a shaman and Jewish. So, you know, the beginning before it became Christianity was very much an earth-based shamanic tradition.
It was a death cult, basically. Anyway, okay, that's another show, and we'll totally get into it, and we'll be here for hours. You know we will.
We have so. I know, we have so much fun. The two of us just know so damn much. Oh, so, by the way, did you know that there was...
But it really, one of the things that, I don't know if you knew about this, but I was a very, very dedicated fundamentalist Christian minister for about a little over 20 years. And
I knew that.
I entered ministerial training school when I was 6 and gave my first presentation on the symbolism in Armageddon, how that applies to our day when I was 6. No pressure. Thanks for that assignment. Anyway. But one of the things that I taught that never sat well with me, it never sat right, was that homosexuality was wrong. Mm-hmm. But when I looked in my Bible, that's what I read, right? And
not if you know the historical context.
Exactly, but I didn't.
Right.
And the research that I did on it confirmed, you know, men who lie with men shall not inherit God's kingdom, blah, blah, blah. You know, and going through this whole thing with the intersex stuff, it forced me to completely reexamine my faith and completely reexamine. I'm still one of those crazy people that read their Bible every day. Made me reexamine that.
Right.
And wow, what a mistake I made for all those years. And I feel the weight of that, the weight of teaching something that was just blatantly, completely inaccurate. The Bible doesn't teach against homosexuality. My research was off. I made a mistake, and I have no idea how many lives I affected in a negative way because of that. I had a conversation about that. I don't really feel guilty about it, but I do feel there's some karmic weight there. So you can look at my writing in the future, and you're going to see some interesting things coming out. But I had to ask myself, okay, I am not bigger than Creator. So if Creator made it possible for a third sex, and there are actually 6 different recognized chromosomal sexes that have an expected normal lifespan. If Creator made this possible, what does that tell me about creation? What does that tell me about God? What does that tell me about everything? And it forced me to totally reexamine everything and pushed me so much deeper in my faith and actually even into the Bible and things like that, which I think is not what most people would expect.
Right. It's the old God don't make junk is a basic concept. You know, if it exists in the world, if in quotation marks, God created these people this way, then it's got to be okay because God don't make junk.
Yeah. And if I think, oh, well, this is wrong, or, you know, because at first I was like, God, I'm such a freak, you know, and my mother, when I took all the medical stuff to her and I sat down in front of her and I told her what it said and I showed her the stuff, her response, and I quote, was, I don't care what the scientists say. I'll never believe you're this much of a freak.
Great.
Yeah. And she has not changed her mind on that. So
but did that surprise you?
No, but it still hurt.
Sure.
You know, that's still my mother.
Right.
somehow, somewhere in there. That's what the medical paperwork says. But that was honestly, when this whole thing first started coming out, that was the resounding response that I got from around me. And it was kind of going out on my own there to figure it out, which has been the consistent story for my whole life. And you know what? It's been really good for me because no one has had the chance to put ideas in my head.
Right.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that amazes me about you is that you don't explode.
You know, oh, I do. Ask my husband.
Well, no, that's not what I mean. I have run across people that have in their life story one of the storylines that you have, and have fallen apart at the seams, have become completely dysfunctional. And you've got all those different storylines in your personal history, and you just get stronger and figure it out.
Well,
which is extraordinary.
That was actually part of this whole thing. You know, one of the reasons that I meet these wonderful young people who are, you know, the generation after me or mm-hmm. younger, and they're just like, they're born and they're like, no, I'm David, and that's that. Screw y'all. and I'm so proud of them, and I'm so proud of the changes we have in our society that allows them to do that. Because I mean, like, when I was growing up, if a man walked down the street wearing a skirt, somebody would have hit him with a truck.
Right.
That's just how it was, you know. And I can say I was one of those people who never in a single instance failed to stand up for the underdog kind of thing. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I was one of those people. However, that was the world that we grew up in, and it's not that case anymore. And I'm so proud of those changes. I'm so stunned at how fast right. that's happened in our society.
Right. You know, there is
part of the reason that I didn't, you know, insist on, no, I'm a redheaded dude and my name's David, and forget what you're looking at in front of you. I mean, part of the reason that I allowed that to be broken out of me was, what's the evidence that it isn't a psychosis? What's the evidence that I'm not just mentally ill? And for the longest time, we didn't have any. Right. I was diagnosed with schizophrenia, which, whether that's accurate or not, is debatable.
Well,
because clairvoyant, of course they're going to diagnose you.
Well,
right?
If you see things that the doctor can't see, they define it as a hallucination. If you hear things that they can't hear, they define it as an auditory hallucination. And if you understand right. things differently than the way everyone else does, it's a delusion. And that's right. Because they can't take in the reality that you take in.
So I did have that background, and I did have dissociative issues. I did have multiple issues. There was a lot of work that went into putting me back together, if you will. And we can debate about how well that worked out, depending on what day it is.
I was going to say, depending on which day.
Sorry?
I was going to say, depending on which day it is.
Right, depending on what day it is. I will have full conversations with different organs and things like that. And you know what? It's really working for me, so whatever.
Okay. Right.
It's not just working for me. I have a healing practice. That's my day job. It's working for everybody else too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So with all that history, like, how do I know it's not just a psychosis? So for me, even as an adult, I never went back to what I did until I went to public school, which was insist that I was David. I never went back to that because what's the evidence that I'm not crazy? So finding, you know, an organ, and having my DNA come back is, no, you should look like David, and we don't know why you don't. Those were pretty significant for me. It gave me permission to exist for the first time.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's, you know, in a real basic way, having nothing to do with this specific corner of being different, as a society, the United States really doesn't support eccentrics. You know, in major parts of Europe, but certainly in England, if you're very eccentric, the neighborhood takes care of you and thinks you're, you know, aren't you amusing?
It's true.
And you're wonderful. And you're just part of our community and that's how you are. So we'll watch out for you. And that's not an American trait.
So yeah. And I can say, you know, with the American shamanism movement, our second biggest community is in London, England. It's so funny. Our biggest group is in Pittsburgh and our second biggest group is in London, England. And they treat me wonderfully over there. And sometimes I think about moving. But yeah, for sure. I mean, just growing up being told by the church, you're possessed, you're demonic, you know, because of the things that was happening with when I was a kid, touching people and then healing and similar issues. And then the psychologist trying to fix me all the time. Yeah, so I needed evidence that I was not sick in order to embrace reality.
Right. Right. And that whole...
What a backwards world, huh?
Well, that idea that anything which is not only Christian, but the flavor of Christian of that particular group is demonic has caused all kinds of pain and craziness throughout history. And it's, you know, it's this very narrow worldview and experience is what's acceptable and everything else is not just different. It's bad, wrong, and demonic really has caused all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, even competing versions of Christianity will do it to each other. So, yes, I have a very hard time with that, and it doesn't work really.
I noticed, David.
Well, and it also, if you do the kind of work that I do, dealing with people that are possessed, and with ghosts and other stuff, you know that what they're teaching and their understanding is not accurate. It's just not what reality is. And so the pain that's being inflicted is because of a false teaching, very old false teaching, but it's not reality. It's fascinating to me. I think you know my friend Bishop Christina Rake, who's an incredible theologian and knows the original scriptures and the original languages. And I'll often say, Christina, this isn't what it looks like. You know, this can't be right. And she'll say, oh, that's not what it said in the original Greek, Hebrew, whatever it happens to be. It actually said this. And that fits perfectly with what you see.
Yep.
So, yep, so
completely.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of what has gone on, especially in this last several hundred years, is it's so far removed from the original teachings and the original scriptures that the things that are being taught are just not accurate.
Right.
You know, it's not that they are not teaching what they have been told and what they understand. It's that it's been, with the translations and everything, it's been changed.
Yeah. It's been bastardized away from the truth. Not that bastards have anything wrong with them. Trust me, most of my friends fall into that category. But, you know, as an expression, so far away from the truth at this point.
Right.
Away right. from even so, reality, you know.
which again, I want to make sure that anyone who's listening, I understand the sincerity. But in terms of accuracy and how does spiritual reality work, it's just not accurate. I mean, it's caused all kinds of problems.
And, you know, I mean, even with the extreme abuse that I went through, you know, I'm not resentful. I feel that served a purpose, a very important purpose. Without that, I would not have formed the incredible spiritual relationships that I have on the other side. You know, those were formed out of a need for survival.
Right.
So I feel like, yes, all right, abuse through the church and abuse through my family and abuse through the school system and through the psychological system and all this other stuff is what put me in such a bad position that I had to form deep relationships with spirits in order to survive. However, that's what I do now. And it's really working for everybody, including me.
Right. It was just a very, very hard school.
Yes. But I also, you know, so many of my clients now are people who have stories like mine. You think my story would be so unusual because it's crazy. And you wouldn't believe the kind of hell people are walking around carrying in their own heads and in their own hearts.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you would because of the kind of work you do, but wow. You know, and so yeah, often people come in through my door and they're like, you're the first person who understands.
There's a specific energy pattern that shows up when people have been abused in childhood. And I see it in 30-50% of the people that I scan when I talk to them. And I always ask, you know, I know this is awkward, but were you abused as a child? And then the stories come out. And yeah. It's all right there in what's going on in their chakras, their aura, the stuff attached to them, all of that stuff. It only happens if there was abuse.
And well, in my case, you know, I have organs that didn't form properly because I was too abused. You have to be loved. You have to be held in order for your organs to grow properly. I have kidney differences and adrenal differences and brain differences because I was not loved enough.
Right.
So really when you have people who, and that's a hard thing for other people to understand, like, no, it isn't that you can just think it away. Like this person's adrenal and kidney system doesn't work the same way. Their body runs on fear instead of love. They can't just like hug it away. You can't Care Bear belly light this away.
Right. And it's also, there are also,
sometimes you can, and that's always fun.
And there are also changes in the brain and all kinds of things. As always happens when we talk, we're going to run out of time. We'll just have to keep going on another show. Tell everybody again where they can find you.
The website is RebeccaGambleHolisticPractitioner.com. We do still have 10 slots available for the online Shamanic Apprenticeship next year, but we only have 10 left.
So people should get in touch if they're interested.
Right.
So, again, David, Rebecca, Laughing Crow.
Whatever.
I want to thank all of you for being here and being so courageous in talking it through right here live on the show. And what goes on for you, with you, through you is extraordinary. I just think you're a pretty extraordinary person.
And I'm blessed. Thank you.
all of you, right? My guest tonight is Rebecca David, Laughing Crow Gamble, and we have been talking about intersex, which is just one of those topics that we're going to learn more and more about as time goes on. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's important people who are going through this know that they're not alone.
Right, right. And if anybody listened to this and said, who is this guy, David, and what in the world does he do? You can go to househealing.com. It's all kinds of ways to get in touch with me, including a link to schedule a 20-minute free assessment of what's going on with a person, place, situation, business, whatever it might be, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more about the show, we've been doing it now for almost 7 years. There are hundreds of fascinating interviews in the archive at thefarkasfiles.com. But the best way to listen to this show and all the other shows on Empower Radio is the Empower Radio app. Available in both smartphone flavors, and it will let you go to the archive for every show, look at all the different episodes, and just choose one and listen to it really conveniently. And now there's also the meditation music channel, which is, you know, just so convenient that you can have that and just plug into it anytime that you want to. So this has been an extraordinary evening, and I want to thank Laughing Crow for being on the show and sharing part of what she's learning on her path about herself and about this whole fascinating area. So Again, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, one and all, for being here and sharing some of your time with me and with my guest. Until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week. We'll be right back.